Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com and also take us on the go. Don't forget to download our app, Mile High Sports. With that, right now we are giving away $20 to Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew, two great locations, Denver metro area. One is in Centennial off of Arapahoe. That's where I go. There's also one in North Denver. First caller, 303-831-1340, 303-831-1340. You are going to Smokin' Dave's on us. It's dinner time. Think barbecue. Think Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. In the meantime, we have some breaking news. And this is coming from our friend Adrian Dater from Colorado Hockey Now. I really didn't think it was much of a question, but I think some people questioned it. Jared Bednar will be back next season. I think it would be way too early to react and say he's the reason why they lost. He is not responsible for turning the puck over in their own zone. I don't think he is necessarily responsible for Nathan MacKinnon not playing well in the majority of the Vegas series. Vegas was just better. We have brought up on this show in the past, it took Tampa a while to finally get to where it needed to be.
Yep.
It took the Red Wings with Scotty Bowman to eventually get to where they needed to be. And I'm more than happy to have Bednar around for another season.
Tampa Bay is a great example because John Cooper had some success. But, I mean, imagine if the Lightning had decided, all right, we won the President's Trophy in 2019, but we just got swept in round one by the Blue Jackets, a far more humiliating playoff defeat than the one the Avs had to Vegas, which was right there step for step with them. The Lightning might not have been the champions the following year if they had said, okay, John Cooper, thanks for your service, but we're moving on. I like this move for the Avs. And the other thing in that series, Game 5, the Avs took a 2-0 lead, looked like they were going to win because of the changes Bednar made between Game 4 and Game 5. He pushed the right buttons. Just because it didn't work out at the end did not mean that he didn't do what it took to get them ready and try to adjust what Vegas was throwing at them. There are going to be some inevitable changes on this roster as a result of the salary cap crunch, the expansion draft, with the Kraken taking at least one player. But I think this is a smart move by the Avs to keep Bednar.
Also, we have some other news about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, this is coming from Tyler Dunn, a longtime NFL reporter. He's reported for, he's worked for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, worked for the Buffalo News, and now he runs a newsletter called Go Long. And he posted this on his verified Twitter account today. The tweet went like this: I know former Packer players are supplying some hope, but this is what folks around the situation have been saying since the initial bomb on Aaron Rodgers dropped. Quote, that he's dug in. Green Bay needs to start taking those calls. He quotes a former member of the Packers front office who says, quote, he's not going back there unless they make serious changes to the front office, unquote.
So basically he wants those guys fired.
He wants Gutekunst and Mark Murphy fired. And are the Packers going to fire Gutekunst and Mark Murphy?
I don't think so
unless the board of directors, when they convene next month in Green Bay, has what you would have to call a palace coup.
Yeah.
Organizationally. But that is not, that's not the Packer way. The Packers organization is, they move slowly. They move deliberately. There is a Packer way, and it is a little bit more reactive than proactive. There are certain organizations in the NFL and in sports, they're not going to be the first one through the brick wall on an idea. They're going to let others do it. These are more reactive organizations. And the other thing with the Packers is they're an insular organization. Brian Gutekunst goes all the way back in that organization when Mike Holmgren was coaching the team. So if Aaron Rodgers is putting front office changes as a term of his potential return to Green Bay, those changes aren't coming. That is not in the Packers' nature.
But I'll tell you something else. I understand where players get coaches fired, but you are setting a very dangerous precedent.
To get a GM and a team president
fired. You really
not just
are.
The GM here, it's all the way at the top.
As much as you'd rather have Aaron Rodgers over Murphy and Gutekunst, you are setting a very dangerous precedent. You are. And once the first domino falls, a lot of them will fall. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Okay, Mace, what'd you see at practice today? And oh, by the way, they will practice again tomorrow.
Yep, no.
Some teams have decided, well, we won't do the final day of mandatory, while the Broncos are going to be doing that.
Well, I would say the Broncos, based on going 5-11 last year and having a quarterback competition, I don't think they're in a position to be sacrificing practice time. Now, that being said, it would not all surprise me if they cut practice short or if they convert it to basically a walkthrough in ball caps and jerseys, no helmets, but they will be out there tomorrow at present. Now, what we saw today, mentioned at the top of the show, Jerry Jeudy, Teddy Bridgewater on the same page. When they are out there, good things tend to happen. They had a touchdown connection, properly covered by Pat Surtain, but Jeudy made a very nice break, nice route, and Teddy Bridgewater dropped in a letter-perfect throw that was nearly impossible to defend, and Jeudy got his feet in with the ball in the end zone for a touchdown. Can't get much better than that. For Drew Locke, when he was able to get the ball out quickly, had some nice throws. When he held on to the ball a little bit longer, kind of what we've seen throughout OTAs, the struggles happened. He had an interception on a play where he held the ball a little bit too long. Might have been a sack under game conditions. Not a good result either. But the thing that kind of concerns you is it's a very similar interception to one that he threw in OTAs, looking to one side, locked in, pardon the pun, on tight end. And Justin Simmons was able to read it, jump it, and take it to the house for what would have been a touchdown, a pick six in game conditions. The fact that you saw it before, that's what concerns you.
I think a lot of fans and a lot of media would like to see Vic Fangio name a starting quarterback going into training camp. Now, Fangio talked about it today and said, listen, we are at 2-3% information on both of these guys. We're going to wait till training camp. Do you think they should name a starter right now or go as planned and wait till training camp to let those two guys fight it out, as they will likely go 50-50 with snaps?
I think you let it go into camp. And part of it is you're kind of tossing a bone to Drew Locke here. Let's see what he does when he's going through these repetitions for a second time, because usually the first couple weeks of camp all mimic days that you had in OTA. So you're going back to concepts. You're getting a second look at them. That being said, the 2-3% thing that Vic Fangio said, do you really believe that they've only got 2-3% of the information? Or do you think they really have more than that?
They have more
than
that.
And they should have more than that.
They do have more than that.
I would say that they should have closer to 40 or 50% of the information they need right now.
How much?
40 to 50%.
I won't disagree with that.
Because it's not just what they're doing out there. It's what they've already put on film. With Pat Shurmur and Teddy Bridgewater specifically, what Shurmur saw from Teddy in Minnesota matters. And I asked Pat specifically about what has changed for Bridgewater since he last worked with him. Because, of course, now he didn't get much in terms of Teddy Bridgewater playing because he was rehabbing from the injury, but he did have him in the meeting rooms, did coach him, did have him in practice because he did get back on the field late in 2017 briefly to kind of take another step forward in his recovery from that horrific injury of 2016. He talked about the systems he'd been in New Orleans and Carolina. He'd been a backup, been a starter, was able to kind of read things a little bit better. So I don't buy the 2-3% on the information at all. I think based on what they saw of Drew Lock last year, what he has shown, which, by the way, as we discussed yesterday, what Drew Lock did well was everything he had done well before. So has he built on that? I would say he hasn't. He hasn't really built on that to the point where you have confidence that he's fixed the glitches, the things that have caused him to struggle to this point. Shermer has the prior experience with Bridgewater, has seen him in a similar scheme. They've seen Bridgewater come out in 3.5 weeks. He's already developed excellent chemistry with a key player in Jerry Jeudy. I don't buy 2-3%. I really think they've probably got about half the information, right. Maybe even a little bit more, right, in terms of making this call.
Well, I got to tell you something. Looking at all the injuries in this year's NBA playoffs, it is really stunning. Stunning to the fact that we haven't seen something like this in a very long time, or maybe ever. Chris Dempsey, who covers the Nuggets for Altitude, is going to join us next. And he believes there is a reason why there have been so many injuries in this year's playoffs. That's next.
This beat is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock around. That's right. On top. Here
we go. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk. Here's Eric and Andrew.
Her hair was kind of curly. Went to her house and bust her out. I had to leave real early.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, if you are looking for a smooth and refreshing cocktail, highly recommend Denver Distillery. This is an up-and-coming distillery. You can find them off of Broadway in Denver, and they are putting out some award-winning stuff, and they are getting recognized all over the country for the work that they are doing. They were just recognized as a top five whiskey in the country. A top five whiskey in the country. They have also been recognized for numerous awards. And remember something, they haven't been around that long, less than 4 years. Think about what they're going to be able to do moving forward. Let's talk about some of these award-winning spirits. Sweet Potato Vodka, I've had it. It's fantastic. I like my vodka with a little bit of tonic, but I like to just sip this because I like that sweet potato flavor on my lips. Colorado Gin's really good. Straight four-grain bourbon is excellent. Apple Pine Moonshine, still need to try that. And their bourbon barrel aged spice rum, I've had that with the Diet Coke. Just fantastic. Denver Distillery, award-winning, recognized nationally. Go get some at your local liquor store. If they don't have it, demand it. You know what else? Now local restaurants are putting Denver Distillery liquors behind their bar. They are getting big. Jump on the train right now. I've been on that train for a while. You're going to love Denver Distillery. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge, or go to rmfp.com.
Okay, so I was talking to my friend Chris Dempsey, who works for Altitude Sports and Entertainment. He used to be a newspaper guy, but he's just so stunningly good-looking and in good shape. They said, we got to put this guy on television. So he is on television. So we're talking on the phone earlier today, and with the news with Chris Paul, where he has tested positive for COVID, according to a Phoenix radio station, although he did get, according to that same report, the vaccine. And I said to him, how well do you think the Nuggets would have done without Chris Paul? Then we started talking about all of the injuries to Jamal Murray, and now Kawhi Leonard, and James Harden, and Kyrie Irving, and Anthony Davis. And Demps was fired up. And I said, Demps, you got to come on the show today. You got to let it out, man. You got to let it out. Chris, how are you?
I'm looking forward to this very therapeutic session that we're about to have.
As a therapist would say, feel free to start spilling on why you think so many players, specifically star players, have been injured this year.
Well, I think it's the density of the schedule. And I'll just start with my reaction to all these injuries. I think it's a travesty. You know, I think that the NBA product, in particular the playoffs, is being damaged this season because all of these players are, and so many star players in this among these group. I mean, it's hurting the ability for teams to be at their best. It's hurting the ability for some of these series to really be compelling. I draw the line all the way back to the regular season. A regular season in which the league wanted to jam in as quickly as possible and avoid playing against the Olympics, which they did do. They avoided the finals will be over maybe just a couple of days before the Olympics start. But in doing so, what you've had is a situation where the players, these games had come so fast and furious. The Nuggets for the second half of the season went through like a 2-month stretch where they played every other day, every other day, every time for 60 straight days. The Memphis Grizzlies had 40 games in 60 days after the break. It is no wonder that these players are getting hurt at the rate that they're getting hurt. And it's too bad because I think it was avoidable. I think it was avoidable, and there were other things that took priority, and now we're starting to see just exactly what the toll has taken on these players' bodies as they kind of drop like flies here in the playoffs.
Do you think that the NBA would have been wiser to kind of do what the NHL did and have a shorter season? They went with 56 games, and to limit travel, they went with four kind of strictly geographically placed divisions and only had teams play within those divisions.
Yeah, I think that would have been a much better solution just in terms of, you know, player safety. Every time you want to hear them say player safety, well, then these are the times that you could show something like that. Now, the only issue with going to what the NHL did was that now that I work for an RSN, there are a certain number of games that the RSNs have to have in order to kind of fulfill that contract with the NBA. And so that's exactly why the bubble happened last year, because they had to get so many of them up to 72 games. And so that's the reason why they got to this number. But what you could have done, Andrew, what you could have done is spaced it out more and just said, okay, well, we're gonna shorten it to 72. But we're not going to worry about the 2-week window, the 2-week Olympic window. Mm-hmm. We'll play conference finals against them, and you know what? We'll catch basketball fans anyway. But when you want to put all the games together, you want to do it in a specific time, and what it results in is this jam-packed schedule. Now you're just putting things at risk. There was an article, I believe, on ESPN.com midway during the season, which I think is anonymously sourced training staffs across the league as being very concerned with the amount of games being played as quickly as they're being played and the toll it was taking on their players. And I think they were right to be obviously concerned when you start to see injuries not only to our Jamal Murray here, but to players around the league, and you know, the latest of which being and maybe most damaging here for the LA Clippers, the knee injury here to Kawhi Leonard.
We're talking with Chris Dempsey. You can catch him on Altitude Sports and Entertainment. I'm going to throw a complete hypothetical at you, piggybacking off of all of these injuries. And it's a hypothetical, I know. And we're going to have a bunch of new teams playing for the NBA title and a bunch of new teams who are going to be in the Western Conference Finals. Let's say for the sake of argument, Jamal Murray was healthy. Will Barton was healthy. And Dozier was healthy. In the first round, they get the Lakers. No Anthony Davis. Second round, they get the Clippers minus Kawhi Leonard. And then in the NBA Finals, or not the NBA Finals, the Western Conference Finals, let's say Devin Booker had an injury and Chris Paul tested positive for COVID, which he has, and he can't play. Then they get to the NBA Finals and Kyrie and Harden can't play. And the Nuggets win a championship. You don't want to take away anything from a champion, and you are Nuggets through and through, and you're going to gladly hoist that trophy, and you want your ring. But honestly, Demps, how good are you feeling about that title?
Well, you know what? You feel good about the title, but you know it went. You know how it went down. And Phoenix is living that situation right now, right? So Phoenix, and you, again, Phoenix is a really, really good basketball team. I just need to say that right off the top. And
but
they played the Lakers. They played the Lakers largely without Anthony Davis.
Yep.
And they played the Nuggets, and the Nuggets without Jamal Murray and whatever other players were gone.
Who killed him, by the way, in the regular season? Who killed him in the regular season?
Yes, Jamal Murray. You know, when I went back and did the prior to this to the series, I went back and did the film study of the games, not just between between the Nuggets and the Suns. I mean, it was shocking how they could not guard Jamal Murray at all, and I had forgotten exactly how dominant he was in those games. But it was, I mean, if he's on the court here for this series. Obviously it wouldn't be a sweep. I'm not going to say beyond a shadow of a doubt the Nuggets win. The Phoenix Suns are playing great basketball, but it doggone sure would have been at least a 7-game series between those two teams, going back and forth with those players on the court, because Jamal Murray could not be stopped. And if Chris Paul was going to continue to not be stopped by the Nuggets, then maybe what we would have had was just a bunch of games that were just shootouts, and very high scores, rather than the Nuggets struggling to get to their point totals that they had averaged all season long in all of these games. So, things are different, but, you know, Phoenix is living that out right now. And if they advance, what are the Clippers' chances now of beating the Utah Jazz without Kawhi Leonard? They're greatly diminished. But the Utah Jazz also playing games without Mike Conley. And if Mike Conley, I think he's expected back, but if he comes back and it's like James Harden, it's a hamstring and he just can't quite get it together, has to miss more games, and maybe some of those games are against the Phoenix Suns, and they're going to benefit from that as well. And so, you know, you still have to win the games to win the title, and that you should always take solace in and be very proud of. You did that, and nobody can take it away. And years later, they're not going to go back and go, "Hey, look, remember all those teams?" Most people won't. They'll just see that you won a title. I think we all know what we're seeing here. And for the NBA, and so for some of these teams, they're just not able to put their best foot forward. And these playoffs could look drastically different if they were able to.
You mentioned Jamal Murray in that, and of course, the nature of ACL rehab means that he's going to miss some time in the 2021-2022 season. What did the Nuggets learn in the regular season, then in those two series against Portland and Phoenix, about trying to cope without Jamal Murray that can help them get by for as long as possible until he is all the way back next year?
Yeah, it's a central question for next season, because he's probably going to miss the majority of next season too. And I think that answer, Andrew, is shooting. I mean, they just could not score against Phoenix. Phoenix basically, it got to the point where they defensively were just packing the lane. They take away cutters, they take away driving lanes, they took away all that stuff. And then they rotated out, to the 3-point line to contest shots at 3-point line. They weren't exactly terrified with, what the Nuggets were going to be able to or not be able to do at the 3-point line. And in fact, the defense that Phoenix played, really played a hand in the Nuggets, taking over 40 3-pointers almost in every game, in that series, not shooting a good percentage from the 3-point line. And so now you're out of your regular offense, and now you're doing something different. You're not making those shots, and so I don't see why teams wouldn't guard them the same way next season. So if you know that, then what you're doing in off season is you're making sure that you're standing guys around Joker that are going to keep defenses honest. Now, if you want to double team Nikola Jokic on the block, then you're going to pay for it with a 3-point shot made somewhere on the court, and in a way that just didn't happen anymore against the Phoenix Suns. So I would think that if you without compromising the relative hierarchy on the team, when Jamal Murray comes back, obviously he's going to slide right back into a starring role. I think what you do need to have are just knockdown shooters everywhere. Maybe that's just adding a couple of guys to the equation. And saying, okay, all right, I dare you to double team this guy, the best passing, one of the best passing players, period, in the NBA, because he's going to pick you apart with the pass. And then when you actually have to hug up to the shooters, now he's going to work one on one with your big. And there's very few people that can merely slow him down, much less stop him.
One quick thing before we cut you loose, only have about 45 seconds left. I'm guessing there are a lot of people in Serbia very upset that Nikola Jokic is not going to try or is not going to play for his home country. But is it fair to say, and I haven't seen anything from Tim Connelly or Josh Kroenke or Mike Malone, they are absolutely thrilled that Jokic is not going to be playing any more basketball until the start of the NBA season?
Yeah, well, I think their official stance on that is that they, you know,
they support him.
Whatever decision that, yeah, exactly, whatever decision he's made.
But the
reality of the situation is in the last three seasons, I believe he's played 225 out of 227 games, all 43 playoff games, averaged 34 minutes per game. Doing so this year and playing all 72 games was 30 minutes in the league. I mean, I can't think of, and I said this on Twitter, I can't think of another player that would need the rest more than Nikola Jokic. I mean, just see you later, man. We'll see you in September.
Right,
yeah. It's been a long haul these last three seasons. And he's not only played all the minutes, but in particular this season, they have been really pressurized heavy minutes as players went down around him and the more responsibility was heaped on his shoulders to keep this team afloat. And so, yeah, I mean, he's earned the right to not play and to get a real rest. I mean, and not only that, you're talking about an off season, which was over like that. He hasn't gotten an All-Star weekend in the last 3 years. And so it just becomes a lot of basketball and a lot of wear and tear on your body. And we just, it kind of brings us back full circle to our original points here. You can't put that kind of, you can't tax your body to that level and not at some point, you know, experience some sort of wear down injuries. And for Nikola Jokic, he's been a total Ironman. So he stayed away from that largely. And the Nuggets want to keep him in that space. To your point, Eric, and to keep him in that space, that's just going to mean that he's not going to have to play, that he should not play in the Olympics here this summer.
Now, like, he's not playing the qualifying tournament. He could still play the Olympics, right? Did I read that correctly? That he's
qualifying. Yeah, because the qualifying, I mean, that would have been the fastest turnaround ever for the qualifying tournament. But he could. I mean, my timeline has a lot of people not very happy with the insinuation that he would not play for his country. And I mean, that's just it goes to show you so much pressure on him to be able to play, to have to play, and to not just play but perform well. And I mean, it's a pressurized situation. But I just think that if people just sit back and look at the load, I mean, do you want how much longer do you want Nikola Jokic around? I mean, there's more tournaments in the future. There's more, world basketball stuff events that he will play in. And so to let him be for one Olympics, I think, just my personal opinion is probably in the best interest of everyone, whether you're in America or Serbia.
Demps, I'm glad you got it all out. I hope you feel better, and we can't wait to have you on the show again, my friend.
I feel great. Woosah. Thank you, fellas.
See you, pal. All right, coming up after the break, NFL and the Players Union agreed on COVID player protocols, and for those that did not get vaccinated, they are going to be treated like lepers. That's next.
I knew you were going to use that word.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. Reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com.
NFL and the Players Union agreed on COVID player protocols for the upcoming season. Here is a sample. You have to get tested every day, mask required at the club facility and during travel. You still have to physically distance from others. You got to quarantine after high-risk exposure. Travel restrictions in effect, 15-player limit in the weight room. You must be physically distanced in the meal room, may not eat with teammates. So essentially, you are separated from your teammates. Everything must be grab and go. No social, media, marketing sponsor, activities permitted. You can't use the sauna or the steam room. You can't leave the team hotel to eat in restaurants. May not interact with anyone outside the team traveling party during team travel. And here's the whopper of the bunch. If you are not fully vaccinated, you will be banned from nightclubs, bars, house parties, concerts. With the NFL and clubs allowing to issue fines of a game check up to $50,000 for the first offense and more thereafter for violating protocol. So huge financial consequences. Everything that I just mentioned, if you have been vaccinated, none of this applies to you. None of it. Take issue with any of this?
Not at all. The NFL is a private organization. They can put these restrictions on if they want to. And look, I mean, it's an NFL team is going to function better in terms of team building in a lot of ways if guys are vaccinated. I mean, Brandon McManus, the Broncos NFLPA rep, spoke about it last week. Everything from not having to be tested every day to, like, one thing that's interesting is that high-risk exposures to COVID, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to quarantine. If you have a high-risk exposure to COVID and you're not fully vaccinated, you got to quarantine. And then you end up not playing. So this is one of those things where it's helpful for the team. It's helpful for yourself. I think that the teams that have higher vaccination rates, we're going to find out they've got a pretty significant advantage in terms of going about their day-to-day.
Look at Chris Paul. He according to reports, he was vaccinated.
He was vaccinated, but you notice that if everything goes through, that he could be back by Saturday.
Right.
And we saw it with some of the Yankees that did test positive, but they were able to turn around and get back quickly because they were vaccinated.
Truth.
It could be basically turning a week, an absence of weeks, into an absence of days.
The truth is, listen, for those who have religious beliefs, you just have to acquiesce to that and say, okay, I get it. But if you have made this political or you don't believe in vaccines, you are potentially letting down your team because a vaccine is available.
I mean, I wasn't around the 1950s. You weren't. But
I read about the
1950s. We read about them. But I mean, I've asked my dad about it. I'm like, the people didn't react this way to the polio vaccine. No. Was regarded as a miracle.
Well, was polio contagious? Excuse my ignorance.
It was contagious in certain spots. Like, for example, I mean, a lot of public swimming places were closed if polio was transmitted there. Like, for example, over in Wash Park, you know, the big bathhouse they've got on one of the lakes there. It's because people used to swim. But after polio outbreaks, that pretty much put the clamps on that.
Yep. Well, polio does spread through person-to-person contact.
Yeah.
So it is a virus. All right, what do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
Well, we'll talk about an iconic win at the U.S. Open 13 years ago, since that is coming up this weekend. Also, a little bit of NBA, all NBA teams, with the first, second, and third teams being released. That's all coming up next, right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Ain't no sound but the sound of speed. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready?
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. Reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, yeah, wholesale, not retail. If you're looking to build a fence, a deck, go to rmfp.com. By the way, listen to us, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. And also, take us on the go, man. Wherever you want to go, download our app. Mile High Sports. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, on this date, June 16th, back in 2008, Tiger Woods had an iconic win at the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, which is just funny enough, the course that they'll be playing at this weekend for the U.S. Open.
And there's a video game. There's a game that I play on my phone, a golf game called Ultimate Golf. It's Torrey Pines.
How about that?
I mean, I have a lot in common with these guys, clearly.
Clearly.
What's your best round at virtual Torrey Pines?
20, 22 under, 23 under.
That's like Kim Jong-il golf numbers right there.
Yeah.
Well, like he used to claim that he shot like a 50 or something like that.
I can't claim that, but go ahead.
During that iconic victory, Tiger Woods was playing on a fractured tibia and a torn ACL. Huge moment for him. The video still gives me chills. What are some other memorable performances in sports where the athletes played through a serious injury? It doesn't happen very often these days.
Yeah, you think about, you go back in team sports, like in basketball, everyone thinks of Willis Reed limping onto the court at Madison Square Garden back in 1970. In football, it's Jack Youngblood playing on a broken leg in the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl back in January of 1980. A lesser degree, Philip Rivers. Lesser degree because people don't really remember it, in part because the Chargers lost. But Philip Rivers played an AFC Championship game on a torn ACL against the Patriots, the year the Patriots went unbeaten. I mean, these are kind of the ones that come to mind.
Well, you have Michael Jordan, the flu game, but the one that stands on top of the list is Carrie Strug in the Olympics. It was, she had one vault left. If she nails it with a badly injured, I think it was ankle, U.S. wins the gold.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to stick it. She had to, or else they don't win the gold.
Yep.
And she stuck it. She had one shot at it. One shot. And she did it. To me, that is the most courageous, heroic performance I've seen, individual or team sports. Because so much was on the line. The gold medal was on the line.
Yeah. Yep.
Just seems like athletes might not be as tough these days, unfortunately.
Wow.
Just in case you missed it, 2021 All-NBA first and second teams. First team, Luka Doncic, Stephen Curry, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kawhi Leonard, and Nikola Jokic. The second team, Damian Lillard, Chris Paul, Julius Randle, LeBron James, and Joel Embiid. Shaq said on TNT earlier this week, he said that he would switch Luka Doncic and Damian Lillard. Would you make any changes to those lists, or are they fine as is for you?
I would take Julius Randle off completely. Completely.
Yeah.
Off that list. That's the change I'd make.
Who would you replace him with?
Oh, I don't know. Not off the top of my head, but I wouldn't have him there. Julius Randle had a nice year. Give me a break. Second All-NBA team. Come on. You know what?
Even though you got Chris Paul on there, there'd be a case for me for Devin Booker.
How about Donovan Mitchell?
Team. Or Donovan. Yeah, where's Donovan Mitchell on this list?
Right. Where's Jeremy Grant, averaged 25 points a game?
He's not making the All-NBA first or second
team.
Hey,
look at the way he improved.
I mean, he is the flower that is wasting its sweetness on the desert air, as the poem goes.
Yes.
The Detroit air.
Just in case you missed it, LaMelo Ball of the Charlotte Hornets has been awarded the NBA Rookie of the Year. Nuggets had a couple rookies that were in action this year. They drafted Campazzo, Zeke Nnaji, and also RJ Hampton, who was later traded to Orlando for Aaron Gordon. And then they took Marcus Howard after the draft. Of those four guys, which do you think is going to have the best career in the NBA?
I don't know enough about Najee because he really hasn't played. I like Marcus Howard. Mm-hmm. I like his instant offense. Campazzo's 30. I mean,
that limits the upside, the age. I still like Najee long term, even though they haven't gotten a look at him. Really, I liked him when they drafted him. I mean, we haven't really seen anything to kind of change our minds on these on Najee, so I'm sticking with him.
Just in case you missed it, NHL playoffs this evening, only one game between the Habs and the Golden
Knights. You're
really
going to ask him to pick a game again in the NHL?
Yeah, if he keeps the trend going.
What? Have we hit double digits yet?
I was happy to be wrong last night. Go Lightning.
If he keeps the trend going, it is starting to become quite impressive.
Embarrassing.
Well, the Vegas Golden Knights are up one game to none. Yep. They will be heading up to Canada after this game.
Yep.
And things will definitely change then because there are not fans in the stands up there.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you think that Vegas will be able to keep that momentum from their raucous home crowd going up there? Or do the Canadiens maybe even it up tonight before they go back across the border?
I got Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
This
series goes no more than five.
So what that means is if I am wrong, that means you're going to be wrong tonight.
No. Why don't you look at the glasses half full? You're riding my coattails to the finish line.
But I made my pick before you did.
Congratulations. good job, Andrew. You jumped in ahead of me.
Hey. No, I'm just saying I could have been following you if I made my pick first.
As I said at the beginning of the finals. The conference finals, I think, is going to be Vegas and the Islanders.
I hope
Islanders are playing really well. Okay. So is Varlamov.
I'm okay if you're half right, but there's a significant part of that I hope you're wrong about.
Listen, I won a lot of money on the Lightning last year winning the Cup.
You're welcome.
What do you mean you're welcome? After
I
your
talked them up.
After your picks, you think I really follow your hockey advice?
I was talking them up all the way through.
You just keep wearing their hats and their sweatshirts. Even when it's 90 degrees outside, you wear a Lightning sweatshirt.
I'm a homer. What can I say?
How do you like Vic Fangio wearing a sweatshirt at practice today? And he had the greatest line. He was asked, why did you wear it? And he said, well, it covers my gut.
Yeah, look, sweatshirts can cover a lot of blemishes. I'll just say that. And I'm right there with Vic. And you know what? You sweat a lot. Maybe you lose some weight and sweat. Maybe that's what he's thinking.
There you go.
Although I would say, Vic, you know what? Just take a nice long walk if you've got dogs in the night like I do. We walk a few miles every night.
All right, that was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, it is hail season. It hailed in the Denver metro area last weekend and then the Colorado Springs area a couple weeks before that. If your roof damaged by hail, man, you got to call for a free roof inspection today to see how Masterpiece Roofing can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. They also do more than roofs. They do painting, gutters, window siding, and all that can relate to hail as well. Let Masterpiece turn your home into a masterpiece. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. Great job today, Alex, sporting the Kevin Durant jersey.
Great Durant jersey, by the way. It's an old throwback with the cable car on it for the San Francisco Warriors. Yeah. Really awesome.
Yeah, because when I think Kevin Durant, I think of his time in Golden State.
Seattle drafted him, you know.
I know. Anyway. Danny, you were terrific. Good questions today on Just In Case You Missed It. Mace, I'm worried that you picked the same hockey game as me. I have a pretty good streak going. Make it the best possible night you can.